We can get going. Start Sunday school. Todd, would you like to open us up in prayer? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay. We will be talking about the rapture today. If you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we will begin in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And, there's a lot. I'm hoping I can get through this, because it's... I get so excited about the rapture. It's our hope. Yep. I mean, that's Christ. And so many people either don't believe in the rapture or think it comes at the end of tribulation, at the end of Great Tribulation. So there's a few things we have to talk about. You talk about the rapture, you have to talk about the Great Tribulation. You have to go into some bit of doctrine. And I take this very personally. This is something that I ran into and which caused problems to not be friends with other Christians. Because it is. It's our hope. It's what we're looking for. We're looking for Jesus. Everywhere in the New Testament, and you look at Paul's writing, he's telling us to look for Jesus. He's not telling us to endure. He's telling us to look for Jesus. And the problem is too many people want to worry about what other pastors are preaching or what's on social media and all that. At one point, right, people would say, hey, TV, you know, you would always hear TV's bad, right? The worst thing is our phones. The worst things are our phones because it has access to TV, it has access to social media, has access to every communication you want. That's the bad thing. And we're looking too much at that and not enough at Christ, and we're not looking for that rapture. We're not looking for that hope, that just, what a great day that's going to be. I mean, it really is. It really is. But we have all that access, and I think that's why people are getting out of it, because people don't want to stick with sound doctrine. They don't want to stick with what's in the Bible. What's it say? And you can look at the Bible, and you can see there are differences. There's certain things that are different between a rapture that happens after the Great Tribulation and things in there. Now, just some statistics, because people like I said, people love going on social media. People love watching YouTube. Even Spotify. Hey, I'm gonna find this preacher. I'm gonna look at this. I'm gonna listen to this preacher. I'm gonna listen to that preacher. This is this. I gotta read this book. I gotta read that book. The book that you're supposed to be reading is the Bible, flat out. There's nothing wrong with reading other Bibles, but you better be getting everything from the Bible. Just a few statistics. Christians ran a few a few polls and numbers, and they came up, I think it was out in Arizona, they came up with 84%. 84% of Christians, this is born again, Bible believing Christians, only open their Bible on Sunday. On Sunday. They had another poll. And this one shocked me. Again, these are people that profess to be born again, Bible-believing Christians. 56% of them say there is another way to heaven besides Jesus Christ. And see, now we may not know the day of the time when Christ is coming back, but we can tell, right? First, there must be a falling away. He's talking about Christians. And this is it. But people would like to go there, and people say, I'm going to stop believing in the rapture. We got to go through it. We got to endure it. We got to do all this. And you're getting your doctrine from somebody on the internet that probably doesn't open their Bible. That believes that there's somebody else besides Jesus Christ to get to heaven. That's insane. But that's what we do. And I say that because it's really important to understand this as you get into the rapture, because the rapture is our hope. It's going to be the best day that we've ever had. Look, we can have some good times here, and we can, you know, we have happiness, joy, all this stuff, but nothing is going to compare to that morning or that day, whatever it is, morning, night, evening, whatever it is. Nothing is going to compare to that. It's when we get to see them face to face. Now, what comes from this is where you get these different ideas is because there's three books in the Bible that are transitional books. Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews. These are what people call transitional books. Right? Matthew, chapters 1 through, I believe, 22 are Old Testament. And then you get into chapter 27, you start to see a transfer to the New Testament. Right? Same with Acts, right? Acts, you can actually see the transition from Israel to the church. Now, why do I say this? Because Matthew 24, that chapter is usually what people start using and quoting for, you know, we're going to get raptured at the end. That's when we're going to get raptured. At the end of the Great Tribulation. No, that's not it. That's not. You could see that. There's a difference in all this. But that's what they try to say and use. But you can see the differences in them. Now, rapture can mean seize, snatch, or transporting something. Transport something. Right? That's what it is. It's a calling out. It's a seize. It's a snatching. We're getting transported. Now, Doc Ruckman, he has it down as in there was seven raptures, right? And if we use that, if we look at that, say seize, snatch, and transport, there's seven different raptures. There's seven different transporting or snatching away or seizing. One is Jesus Christ in Acts 1. Then you have two, Enoch in Genesis 5. You have Elijah in 2 Kings 2. You have the body of Christ, which is what we're going to be talking about today. It's the body of Christ. And then you have Moses and Elijah in Revelation 11. And then you have the 144,000 in Revelation. And then also in Revelation 7, you find a great multitude of martyred Gentiles. And it says they came out of great tribulation. So you got these different ones. That's what he's got down. And it's interesting because you can go and you can look at these. And that's why I gave you the chapters in the book. So you could look at that and see there's different ones. And they're not the same. They do not look and sound like what's going on in 1 Thessalonians 4. It does not. For one, it says the Lord Christ himself will descend. Right? It doesn't say he's coming to to set foot on earth. It does not say that. It says we're caught up in the clouds. So he's coming down from heaven, and we go up to him, the dead first, then us. He doesn't come all the way down. He doesn't step foot. And that's what people can't grasp. Second Advent, all that stuff. He's stepping foot on the earth. If we're waiting for that, if that's when it's supposed to happen, then why are we getting caught in the clouds? There's no need for it. He's coming here for us. But he stops in the crowd. Now, if we look at this, we can see in the passage, there's a shout, there's a voice, there's the trump of God. And, right? So we look at this, and this shout, the Lord's voice, right? The Lord's voice sounds like a trumpet. Now, I want to look at his voice here for a few minutes, and just so you can see and compare. Because what you're going to find is, if you go through the Old Testament, I believe Isaiah 29, and we won't go there, but we'll go to a few other places. But you could see in the Old Testament that there is resurrection. That's what people were, right? That's what people were happy about when Jesus came. Yeah, you know, when Lazarus died. Yes, I know there will be a resurrection at the last day. You could see that all through Old Testament scripture. But I want to look at what his voice sounds like. So if you go to Psalms 50, Psalm 50, and verse 4, Psalm 50 and verse 4, and the Bible says, "He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." Okay, this is, like I said, this is about the rapture getting called out. So he's going to gather his saints. He's going to have it. He's going to do this. But if we turn over to Job 37, Job 37, and verse 1, it says, "At this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doth he which we cannot comprehend." If you turn over a few pages to Job 40. Job 40 and verse 9. And it says, "Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him?" Now we're seeing this, right? We could see that he's going to call saints out. He's going to do this. His voice is like thunder. Now why do I mention this? Because it was something I seen when I was doing research for this, that if you turn over to John 12, and it's marvelous the things he does. And sometimes he makes it so simple, and we don't get it. We skip by it because we think nothing of it. We think that it's, you know, well, it's just this or that, and you know, I'm out to get this, you know, maybe you're out to get an answer or something, but you don't have the right attitude. You're not going into it the way you should, but we just often do it. Sometimes it's just because it's us. We read, we get distracted, whatever it may be. But if you turn over to John 12, and then we will start in verse 28. So John 12, 28. And the Bible says, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." And Jesus answered and he said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now as the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out." And we look at this, and what do we see? We see God again speaking. So now, but he says, some heard thundering. Some thought it was an angel. So which is it? Was it an angel? Was it thunder? Or was it God? That's the question you have to ask. I thought when the Son talked to the Father, that he answered. And see, people don't see that. They don't see how God's voice is, how it comes thundering like that. That some people hear this, some people don't do that. And we just miss things. We get excited. I remember when I was a new Christian, and I kind of look back, and I used to think it was great, and then I'm going, man, I was dumb. I just wasn't paying attention the way I should have. But I can't remember if it was the first year I was saved or the next year, but it was right around the time that they were tearing down the speedway over at the fair, and we lived in North Syracuse, and the noise was ridiculous. And I remember just starting to hear this noise, and I'm sitting there with Jack home, and I remember just grabbing him and like looking and going, this is it, this is it, this is it, this is it, right? I mean, that's the enthusiasm we should have every day. And I don't have it, but that was it. And I look back and I go, you know, that's probably not bright. Why? Well, because it happens in what? A twinkling of an eye. I'm not going to hear thunder, right? We hear God's voice, right? My sheep hear my voice. So we won't hear thunder. We won't hear like an angel or not. We're going to hear our names, our individual names. I mean, and that's why I take this serious with the rapture. Because if you think about that, of how great our God is, through all history, through all these things, all these people that have come and gone, they're famous, not famous, whatever the world thinks, he thought he needed me. He thought he needed you. He creates everything. And said, hey, I want this person. Now he could see the outcome of who's going to get saved, who's not, who's going to be with him. But that doesn't mean he doesn't create you with a purpose and says, hey, I want this person. And doesn't have that going, hey, I know it's going to happen, but I hope. You know, I'm sitting here going, I know it's not going to happen, but I if he would just ask me, I have something great for him. I have a purpose for him. And that's what we have to remember, that he's created all of us with that purpose. He created us for a reason, as individuals. Right? And that whole rapture is when we get to see him, when we get to know. We get to know what he knows. And it's just, I really do. We really should have that, just that enthusiasm of just seeing him, of just going, hey, and I know sometimes we do it, but sometimes we do it with the, I've had enough, Lord. I'm ready for you to come back. You know, that's not enthusiasm. You know, is it a good thing? Yes, but it's not there. It's not what he has in mind with an attitude like that. He wants us looking for it. He wants us looking for him. And it's so awesome when he does that. So we have that. We have that his voice is not always going to be heard as his voice. I mean, if you want to do real, like, if you want to get into real studying, you know, you can go right to Paul and start going through Acts, and you could see when Jesus showed himself at Damascus on him, how people saw and heard different things, and he explains it as it goes, and it gets really, it gets stretched out, because he continues talking about it. But it's an interesting thing to see how God communicates with those he has saved and knows who we haven't. Obviously, John heard God's voice in that passage that we read in John 12, right? Because he had to know what he said to write it down. So it's just something important to think about. When you think about the rapture, we're gonna have this stuff. We're gonna do it. You're looking for His voice. You're looking for His calling of your name. That's what you're looking for, and that should excite you as well. You know, I mean, man, that's just I can't even comprehend that. Like how He's gonna call everybody's name at once, everybody's individual name at once. I mean, that's what has to happen. But we see this now. Also, he talks about, where are we here? Verse 16 in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And now, the voice of the archangel, people get confused with this too. And these things aren't, like I said, it's not easy to comprehend. We can't comprehend what God does and things. But here, let's look at this voice of the archangel Michael, right? I think just proves a little thing with some of the scripture, right? At the rapture, right? What we get taken out. Why do we get taken out? What is the purpose of the rapture for us getting taken out? For God to deal with Israel again, right? I mean, that's the whole point. He still has a promise he made to Israel. Ours is different. We're referred to as the bride of Christ. And there's, I don't have time to do it, but there's a whole bunch of passages. You can go through Song of Solomon, and you could see how that is referred to as the bride of Christ, and the bride of Christ in there is a Gentile in the Song of Solomon. I mean, if you really study it out, you can see it's a Gentile bride in there, and this bride is going. And it's just interesting how all these things set up, and you look at them. But we're talking about this voice of the archangel. Now, right, who helps out Israel? Who's the one that fights for Israel? Michael. So if you turn over to Daniel 12, and I like this, I do, I really love this. I know it may not seem like I'm enjoying myself, but I am, I really am. I love it, I love talking about the rapture. Daniel 12 and verse 1, and it says, "At the time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time, and at the time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." You notice what it says there? It says, he shall stand up, and there shall be a time of trouble. Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation. Right, we're in Daniel, and we're talking in you could see in Daniel 11 that he's talking about end times and the little horn and all these things like that, and he goes through it, and then he talks about the, you know, and then we start up 12 with the great tribulation, and then he goes into the resurrection. And then the last message is Daniel. So you can see there's a couple different resurrections, a couple different raptures. But I believe that's you know, from Daniel 12, I believe that's what he's trying to say there. I mean, that's what I gather. And with the, right? Because we're going to be taken out. We have to be taken out so he can deal with Israel. We cannot be here. And there's where you get it. And there's where you get it, because people will sit there and go, oh, yeah, we do. Go back to Matthew, right? They'll go to Matthew 24 and they'll say, see, look, he's even able to deceive the elect. Well, you look at that chapter, that's about the Great Tribulation. Who are the elect in that? Well, since Christ didn't die yet, it can't be the body of Christ. He's not talking to the body of Christ. He's talking about Israel. He's talking about his people who he has to deal with. Now we go down and we talk about the trump of God here. Right? And with the trump of God. Now here we go again, where people will say, it's the last trump. Right? I believe that's in Corinthians. We'll go over there. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll read that. First Corinthians 15 and verse 52. And it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now again, see, this is where they go through it, and they say, well, it's a trumpet. It's a trumpet, see? And they're saying last trump. And over here it says the trump of God. So, is it a trumpet or is it a trump of God? A trump of God does not say trumpet. It says trump of God. Everywhere in Revelation, what's it say? It says an angel blows the trumpet. And it doesn't say trump of God. That's, he's blowing the trumpet of the trump of God. No. So, we got to look at this. And what do we have to do? We have to go scripture with scripture. That's what you have to do. So if we turn way back to Exodus 19. Exodus 19 and verse 16. Exodus 19 and verse 16. And the Bible says, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning and thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Is it a voice of a trumpet or is it a trumpet? It's God. Why? Thunders and lightnings. We talked about his voice. You see, you can, a trump can send a message. The trump of God, it's sending a message is what it's doing. It's sending a message to him. It's God sending a message to us. It's time. It's time to leave. It's time to go. I need to deal with Israel now. I need to do these things. And it is. It's surprising how many people just don't. You have to think about it. And you have to do it, right? Study to show thyself approved. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And it seems like nobody wants to study or divide anymore. It doesn't matter. But you could see that there is. And like I said, you go to Revelation, and a lot of people, and this is where you get that, oh, that pre-wrath garbage and things like that, because people are starting to confuse 144,000 and confusing that also with the great white throne of judgment. That's what happens, because you're not looking, you're not understanding, you're not trying to rightly divide. And why is that important? It's important because that is our hope. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort each other. If I was going to say, hey, okay, things are going to get real bad, you need to go up, stock up on everything you have. Don't leave your house. Don't talk to anybody because you can't trust them. Is that comfort? Is it comfort? Because what I'm describing is what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation. And we got to see a little bit of that when COVID hit, of how quickly things can change and how people were stockpiling and wouldn't talk. And you have families torn apart in separate parts of the house and won't even talk to each other. Is that comfort? Is that really hope? But that's what some people want you to do. That's what some people want you to think, that that's the comfort, that's the hope. That's what you get when you ask Jesus to save your soul. Is you get a God that says, I don't care, I'm still going to make you do everything. It's not what he wants. That's not love. Yes, love has accountability, but forcing somebody and making them do these things is not love. It's not hope. Hope comes from, hey, I'm going to let you guys know this. It's going to get bad. It's going to get real bad. There's going to be people out there. They're going to be fighting. They're going to be killing each other. They're going to be trying to stockpile. But don't worry. You won't be there for it. That's comfort. That is comfort. And that's why I take it, and I know sometimes I get a little going and repeat myself with these things and the doctrine of how it's important, and why it's important that the rapture is important to our salvation. And I do, because it cost me a friendship. This whole rapture cost me a friendship. And it wasn't me. I gave grace. I showed scripture after scripture after scripture. And then we came to a point where I said, you know what? Let's not talk about it. And that didn't happen. And I said, no more. I can't. Don't make my God look like a vicious God, a God who just wants to hurt you and do all these things and make you go. It's not what it's about. Can he do it? Is he right if he does it? Absolutely. But he doesn't. And you know he doesn't. How? Because you can think right now of how many times you've done something stupid or fell back into something, and he still had mercy and grace on you. Does he chastise those we love it as a child and all that? Yes, he does. But how many times weren't you chastised? That's the question. We're over there in Redeeming Hope. We're going through the fruit of Spirit, and we just did long suffering. That's why. He was long-suffering me for 30-some-odd years of my life. And I said, I'll have mercy on you. Why? Because I asked. And for all that, I get all this. I get to have that hope when I look up in the skies that I know my Redeemer is coming. He's coming for me. And I'm going to meet him up there. That's why I'm looking up. Because I'm going to meet him up there. But if you turn over to John, we'll go over to John 10 real quick. John 10 and verse 3. And it says, to him the porter openeth up, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Man, that's good. Right? We talked about that. We're going to hear our names called. We're going to hear his voice calling our names. Why? Because he's going to lead us out. His sheep hear his voice, and he's going to lead them out. I mean, everywhere you turn, you can see that the body of Christ is different. It's different. I often think of it like this, right? Paul says that he came to the Gentiles, right, to make the Jews jealous, make Israel jealous. Why would that make Israel jealous if we have to keep all their laws? Not eat pork, not eat, you know, you got to keep all their laws. You got to do everything they do. You got to go through a great tribulation. You got to do, how is that making them jealous? No, I believe he said that because it's like, hey, they're my people. I don't consider them anything. I consider them the body of Christ. I do not consider them Jew. I do not consider them Gentile. And then he says, you can have it too. Right? That's what he says. He says, Israel can have it, we can have it, everybody can have it. That's what makes it jealous. That's what makes them jealous, because we can have what they have, but we can have it better. Because we do, we have it better. We absolutely have to do nothing, basically, except acknowledge there's a God, that we are sinners, we're not good people, and we will take the chance to put our needs above anybody else's and accept Christ's payment on the cross. Believing and going, hey, we get it. Now we get to see him come for us. And we don't have to go through anything. But now we're going to talk about the catching up, the dead there. He says, the dead shall rise first. Now, man, there are people get that confused too. The sleep and the dead, and that's how it is. They go, oh, well, you're asleep, you're dead, so, and all this. And they try to take that and twist that as in, see, well, since you're like that, you can't, you know, it won't be a rapture, you know, beforehand or this or that, because everybody's dead and all that, and you get that weird soul sleep stuff. But what he's talking about, the sleep and the dead, that's what he's talking about. Sleep is dead. Sleep is your, dead is your body. That's it. God made us a trichotomy, just like him, his image. The body is dead. That's it. That body is sleeping. Why is it sleeping? Because when he calls us, what do we get? In a twinkle of an eye, we get a new body. We're there, but our body's here. That's the sleep, that's the dead, because he has to transform that. But people want to say, oh, that's soul sleep, that's what'll happen if you don't, you know, well, if you're not one of the 144,000 or whatever it may be, if you don't accept him, then that's how, and that's garbage. It's absolute garbage. Because why? Because Paul even says it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if we're present with the Lord, how are we asleep? How are we dead? We're not. It's our bodies. Right? So you have to remember that your soul is what goes to heaven, and our soul is in the shape of our bodies. That's in Revelation 7. You'll find that our souls are in the shape of our bodies. If you want to look. But that's what happens, okay? At the rapture, wow, that's weird. But it's kind of cool because I don't know what happened, because you got souls in heaven, but you got their bodies here and they're going up first, you know. So that's gonna be. I don't think we're really gonna care. I mean, we think about it now and go, that's kind of weird. I don't know how that works. But when it happens, we're not going to really care. We're going to be up there in the air with him. But it's just neat to think that that's how he works. Like, hey, you know, don't worry. You die, you're saved, you're with me anyways. If you're not, I'll take you. You're coming anyways with him. You know, that whole hope of the rapture. But why is it important? That's the question. Why do we have the rapture? And again, people don't like it because it's not in the Bible. That word's not in the Bible. You're right. Neither is Trinity. But we use it. People believe it. Why? Because you can see it. You can see it because it's in Scripture. Just because they're different words or different explanations doesn't mean anything. Because when you start doing that, then you start getting into the weird stuff. Like, you know, you're not saved because you're not saying, you know, Yeshua. You know, you're saying Jesus. And you get in all these weird things. And not good stuff. Not good stuff. But it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. This is the part of the rapture, why we believe it, and why it says it, and what we should have out of it. It's comfort. Our Savior is coming at any time. Anytime. Right? And you need to have hope in that he is. Now, see, people will say, well, you know, since you believe in the rapture, that means you could sin, you can do all these things. And no, it doesn't. Because anybody that's truly saved knows that, yes, can you backslide? Can you fall into it? Yes. But what happens if you're truly saved? Man, you get eaten alive. That Holy Spirit does not, you know, it doesn't let go. And you sit there and you're like, oh, you know. But the hope is good. And to say that that's the way it is saving, it's not, because the rapture gives us a purifying effect. If you turn over to 1 John. 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and verse 2. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It's a purifying effect. Why? Because it makes you, when you keep your eyes on Jesus and you know he can come at any minute, when you're going to, the rapture is true, it's biblical, it's in here, and you're keeping your eyes and you're waiting, it makes for a more purifying effect. It helps with your sanctification. Why? Because you don't want to disappoint him. You don't want to be the so-called kid when Christ comes back with your hand in the cookie jar. Right? I mean, that's basically what it is. So you think about that and you go, oh man, you know, this is not good. I should be out. I should be doing more. Why? Because he's the one that saved you and you get to be with him forever. But not under, you know, because we don't understand what we're going to be. We don't understand how we're going to look or anything. We just know we're going to be different. And we're looking forward to that. We're looking to the skies. Thinking of the rapture will keep our mind and life on Jesus, right? If you turn over to Philippians. Philippians 3. Philippians 3 and verse 20. And it says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." You see where that hope is? You see where that just, it's a great pleasure to have Christ in your life that we often take for granted. But keeping your mind on Jesus, keeping your mind on that rapture, there's the comfort, that hope. And it helps you. It helps you get through the day. And the problem is we like too much control. But we need to wake up every day, thank him, and go, okay, it's a new day, Lord. Have your way. That's what it's about. I mean, since we love control so much, that's the only thing we can do is day by day. Because we can't go minute by minute because we don't like to relinquish that much control. We don't. I used to say that to myself all the time. Oh, just take it minute by minute, take it minute by minute. You know what? My life started getting a little better when I said, you know what? I got to take this day by day, don't I, Lord? Because I just can't. I want to mess it up minute by minute. Right? The more you think about something you shouldn't do, you probably do it. But it's great, you know? It keeps us zealous of good works. In Titus. Titus 3, I believe. Titus 2, I'm sorry. Titus 2. Titus 2 in verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." I mean, do you see the difference now? I know we didn't have a lot of time, and I got to wrap up here soon anyways, but there's different resurrections. There's different raptures. And if you get them confused, you're going to think you're going to go through tribulation, and that's not how it is. And we see this, the blessed hope, the comfort, all these things. Why? Because we're the body of Christ. We're different. And this is going to help us do good works. This is going to help us want to go out and do things for the Lord. Not for ourselves, for the Lord. Right? You know, that's why people get saved. I think that's why people get saved at the Bible handout and the three preaching. I truly believe it's the praying and the attitude of the people to go. Because you're out there to see somebody's soul saved. And not out there just to say, hey, look what I'm doing. There's a difference. But the rapture is biblical. God's voice, the trump of God is not a trumpet. The trump of God is not an angel. It's God himself. It's Christ himself descending and meeting us in the air. It's not going through anything or any problems. While we do have tribulation and problems here, we don't go through the greatest. We go through very little, and we should be thankful for that. And that should help us want to serve him more. But with all that, he's coming for us. Have that attitude of he's coming for us today. You know, seriously, if you try that, you know, I know we mess up and we forget things and stuff, but try that for a little bit. Try that for as long as you can, for as long as you remember that he's coming today. I better be ready. He's coming today. I better be ready. I want to see him. I want to please him. Because it's going to happen. He's going to come, and he's going to call us out. And there's nothing more that needs to be done in any prophecy for him to do that. It's all fulfilled. He needs to just call us now. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to just to actually teach and preach a little bit on something that I'm passionate about, Lord, that means a lot to me. That means so much of how great of a caring God you are, and just how much more you just do for us, Lord. If saving our souls was just it, Lord, that would be enough. But you go so far and so much more beyond what we deserve, Lord. And we just want to thank you for that, Lord. And we just do pray, Lord, that today would be the day that you would come back and get us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.